अस्सलाम वालेकुम। इस कोरोना की वबा के दौरान और इस लॉकडाउन में मुझे ये एहसास हुआ कि जो हमारे स्टूडेंट्स हैं और स्पेशली जो हमारे मेडिकल स्टूडेंट्स हैं, उनकी पढ़ाई पे तो बहुत असर होता है और उनका बहुत कीमती वक्त भी ज़ाया होता है। इस सिलसिले में बहुत सारे कॉलेजेस ने ऑनलाइन क्लासेस भी शुरू की, जिनकी अफादियत का भी अभी अंदाज़ा लगाना बाकी है। तो मुझे ये एहसास हुआ कि कम अज़ कम जो मेरा सब्जेक्ट है सर्जरी, उसको तो मैं ऑनलाइन कोई ना कोई रीडिंग मटेरियल, कोई ना कोई व्यूइंग मटेरियल उस पर डाल दूं कि अल्लाह ना करे इस तरह के कोई हालात हों तो हमारे स्टूडेंट उससे इस्तेफादा कर सकें। तो उसके लिए मैंने एक वेबसाइट अपनी टीम को कहा बनाने के लिए, जिस पर काम हो रहा है, और मैंने लेक्चर्स रिकॉर्ड करना शुरू कर दिए। उनमें से काफ़ी सारे लेक्चर्स रिकॉर्ड हो चुके हैं, लेकिन इसमें तकरीबन 3-4 महीने लगेंगे। इसमें सारी सर्जरी जो कि अंडर ग्रेजुएट और PGRs के लिए चाहिए, रेजिडेंट्स के लिए, वो इंशाल्लाह वेब के ऊपर अवेलेबल होगी। तो मैं उसके सैंपल के तौर पर एक लेक्चर आज अपलोड कर रहा हूँ और मुझे उसके सिलसिले में फीडबैक भी चाहिए होगी। और मुझे बताइएगा कि ये कितनी अफादियत होगी इसकी, क्योंकि इस पर मुझे बहुत मेहनत करनी पड़ रही है और जो उसके एंड यूजर्स हैं उनकी तरफ से फीडबैक आएगी तो मुझे पता लगेगा कि ये मेरी एफर्ट वाकई मौसर है या नहीं है। बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया।
अस्सलाम वालेकुम, गुड आफ्टरनून। Today we are going to discuss a very important topic, and that is abdominal tuberculosis. If we are working in a Western environment, perhaps this talk is not very important because this disease is very uncommon in Western society. However, if you are working in subcontinent or the Eastern countries, and especially Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and this area, then and maybe Africa, then this disease is very important to keep in mind when we are dealing with any abdominal pathology. Today we will discuss various presentations of abdominal tuberculosis. Well, the commonest presentation of abdominal tuberculosis is ascites. In fact, it was taught to us that when someone presents with ascites in a subcontinent, then there are 4 main causes. Number 1 is tuberculosis. Number 2 is cirrhosis. Number 3 is malignant ascites. And number 4 is ascites because of hypoalbuminemia due to any cause. So these are 4 main causes. There are some rare causes as well, but these are the main important differential diagnosis. Well, when tuberculosis occurs in such a way that predominantly it is the visceral or parietal peritoneum which is involved, then a person will present with ascites. The second presentation is a pathological entity which is called ulcerative tuberculosis. Now, this occurs in patients who have got very low immunity. As a result, there is more destructive process, and this destructive process is in the form of ulcers which are present mainly in the terminal ileum. Now, because there are ulcers there, so this is why predominantly there is increased intestinal activity. Hence, a patient presents with diarrhea and loose motions, along with the background of a chronic debilitating diseases, which is weight loss, which is anorexia, which is evening fever, which is malaise, generalized weakness. But the main presentation of ulcerative tuberculosis is diarrhea. Now, when diarrhea occurs, because whenever intestinal contents come closer to that ulcerated area, the peristaltic activity starts increasing in order to get rid of it quickly, and hence there is diarrhea. But when there is a frequent diarrhea, the contents of intestine, they are just depleted, and as a result there is constipation. So there is a few days constipation again followed with diarrhea. So diarrhea alternating with constipation in a patient who is debilitated and chronically ill is the predominant feature of ulcerative tuberculosis. The third variety of abdominal tuberculosis is hypertrophic type of tuberculosis. This type of tuberculosis occurs when the immunity of a patient is stronger. Now, the area which are initially ulcerated, they show fibrosis. Because as you remember, tuberculosis is a type of type 4 hypersensitivity reaction, which is characterized by destruction and fibrosis occurring simultaneously, which is actually a feature of chronic inflammation. So when a person has got very reduced immunity, the ulcers may continue. But when a person has got better immunity, then this ulcerated area starts healing itself and results in the formation of fibrosis, which results in strictures. And these strictures are mainly on the terminal part of the ileum. But when a patient already had a widespread disease, then we may have multiple strictures and multiple constrictions, not only in the terminal ileum, ileocecal junction, even on the proximal ileum as well. It is not very uncommon to open an abdomen for intestinal obstruction for hypertrophic tuberculosis, and you encounter multiple ulcers which are multiple strictures which are present in at the various lengths of intestine. So this is what is called hypertrophic type of tuberculosis. And this tuberculosis is also characterized with lymphadenopathy, right? Now, what will be the presenting symptoms in this case? Obviously, since it causes obstruction, so there are classical presentation of pain abdomen, constipation, and formation of visible peristalsis over the intestine. In our language, and this is actually included in our Western terminology as well, it is called gola formation. So when you ask from a patient, do you have gola in your abdomen? He says, yes, I have got gola. Gola means a visible loop of intestine which is moving from one place to another. And classically, when terminal ileum is involved, there is a step ladder type of intestinal pattern which is seen from left hypochondrium to right iliac fossa. Typical, and when you sweep your hand over there, you can see a step-like pattern. And if you sit by the side of the patient, if you have gone through Bailey and Love, you must have seen a picture where Sir Hamilton Bailey was sitting close to a patient in such a way that his eyes are tangent with the abdomen of the patient, and he was just watching for the visible peristalsis. So visible peristalsis, colicky pain in the abdomen, and increasing constipation. And sometimes the bowel sounds are so loud and audible that even people sitting at a distance can hear that. So this is typical of hypertrophic type of tuberculosis. I have told you one variety, which is ascites. The other one is ulcerative tuberculosis. And the third one was hypertrophic type of tuberculosis. The fourth variety of tuberculosis is because of lymphadenopathy. Sometime patient has got vague pain in the abdomen, has got chronic signs of chronic debilitating disease, as I've told you, night fever, weakness, loss of appetite, and there are palpable lymph nodes, and which can be also found on ultrasonography and CT scan. And abdominal lymphadenopathy can be another presentation of tuberculosis. And finally, a patient who has got either a caseating lymph node which ruptures inside the peritoneal cavity, or a tubercular ulcer bursts and results into peritonitis. So in either of these conditions, patient may present with peritonitis as well as a first time during the course of tuberculosis. So if I summarize, one is ascites, another one is ulcerative type of tuberculosis, the third one is hypertrophic type of tuberculosis, fifth one is lymphadenopathy, and the fourth one, and the fifth one is peritonitis, which is either because of rupture of caseating lymph node, or it may be because of peritonitis due to rupture or perforation of a tubercular ulcer. Now, how do we diagnose it? Well, the most important point needed for the diagnosis of abdominal tuberculosis is thought of it. We have to suspect it. And because many of the time the symptoms are very non-specific. But any patient who has got abdominal symptom and in an area where this disease is endemic like ours, then abdominal tuberculosis has to be one of the differential diagnoses. I will just take them one by one and will discuss with you various diagnostic modalities for that. In case of ascites, obviously, the most important test is ascitic fluid examination. And when you take the fluid, you can actually suspect tuberculosis just by looking at the fluid. It's a straw-colored fluid and it has got a coagulum when you just hold that test tube where you keep that fluid. And it is straw-colored, number one. Number two, when you look at the cells, you see predominant lymphocytes. And if you are lucky, you can also find AFB. Although presence of acid-fast bacillus is rare, but if of course it is present, then it is almost, it is confirmatory that it is tuberculosis. Now, the only differential diagnosis when we have got predominant lymphos and straw color fluid and no AFB is malignancy. But in case of malignancy, malignant cells will be there. If you centrifuge that fluid and you take the sediments and see under microscope, you will be able to see the malignant fluid, malignant cells. So this is how abdominal ascites because of abdominal tuberculosis is diagnosed. And if all other diseases are ruled out, which is malignancy obviously, and then this is enough to start anti-tuberculosis treatment, especially if we are living in an area which is endemic for tuberculosis. In order to have further confirmation, we can also have peritoneal biopsy. If there is any doubt about it, we can actually do a laparoscopic biopsy. And laparoscopy is also very important because and significant because it will rule out other diseases. Especially in female, sometimes ovarian tumors are associated with ascites as well. So, this is how you handle ascites because of tuberculosis. Now, ulcerative type of tuberculosis, obviously, as I said about ascites, the mainstay is suspicion, strong degree of suspicion. So, when we suspect ulcerative type of tuberculosis, then we obviously do blood complete examination. That is suggestive. And then high ESR is suggestive of that. And if we can get barium meal follow through, there is a typical sign which is terminal ileum cutoff sign, which means that when barium goes there, when it passes through terminal ileum, there is an intestinal hurry there. So it is possible that you take 10 x-rays and in none of them you are able to see the terminal ileum, because there is an intestinal hurry and barium just quickly passes through that. So, this is one of the signs. But of course, in this modern time of investigations and diagnosis, you just don't rely on barium meal alone. You need to have some kind of histological or immunological confirmation. So, if you get any tissue like peritoneal biopsy, that will be confirmatory. And there are immunological tests as well. One of them is gene expert. And that can diagnose tuberculosis. Now, the third one, and if you diagnose it, then treatment is obviously anti-tuberculosis treatment. You start anti-tuberculosis treatment and patients, they start showing. And nowadays, 6 months treatment is enough. But there are various regimes. And when you will be taught your pulmonology, then they will be telling you in detail what are various regimes for tuberculosis. Now, the third one is hypertrophic type of tuberculosis. Now, hypertrophic type of tuberculosis can be the result of anti-tuberculous therapy to an ulcerative tuberculosis. I have seen in my practice that a patient is diagnosed as ulcerative tuberculosis and when anti-tuberculous treatment is given, it boosts up the immunity of the patient and healing starts and that healing results into strictures. Now, once hypertrophic type of tuberculosis is diagnosed, and this is diagnosed by strong clinical history. There are symptoms which I have told you, I will repeat it for you. There is pain abdomen, which is colicky in nature. There is loud bowel sounds, and there is a step ladder, step ladder type pattern of visible peristalsis and gola formation in the abdomen. And sometimes you may have a palpable mass as well. One of the differential diagnoses of mass in right iliac fossa is abdominal tuberculosis. So in that case, since it's a mechanical problem, you cannot just deal it with anti-tuberculosis treatment and you have to do surgery. And during surgery, most of the time when terminal ileum is involved, the treatment is right hemicolectomy. And if there are multiple strictures, then you make a custom plan according to the situation. If there are one or two strictures very close to each other, then that area may be resected and end-to-end anastomosis are done. If there are so many ulcers, so many strictures, and you cannot actually do multiple resection anastomosis, you can also do stricturoplasty, which means to cut the intestine in a longitudinal direction but sew it in a horizontal direction. As a result, the lumen of intestine is increased. However, a very expert and senior surgeon is required to make this decision. So my suggestion always to PGRs is that when you encounter tuberculosis in an emergency situation when it was not expected, please do call your senior so that he can make a wise and sane decision. But as I've told you, it requires some kind of a procedure to restore the continuity of the intestine, which may be right hemicolectomy, which may be resection of a portion of a stricture, maybe resection of a bigger segment, or maybe multiple strictureplasty. Sometime when there are so many strictures over there, I have also tried side-to-side stricture bypass. Because after all, ultimately you have to give anti-tuberculosis to the patient, and if it is not possible to do multiple cutting, what you do is that you bring two loops together, one proximal to the stricture and distal to the stricture, and join them side to side, which is actually a kind of a bypass things. And this is also one of a recommended procedure. But well, in which patient you have to do what type of a procedure, it depends upon the local circumstances at that time. Most of the time, these patients, they do very well. And after that, you start, you get actually tissue for a confirmation as well. And then you start anti-tuberculosis and patients, they get well. The patients who have got perforation or patients who have got, rupture of the caseating lymph nodes and they develop peritonitis, well, this is a serious condition because not only that there is fecal matter in the intestine in the second case or there is a pus material in the intestine, but it is in a patient who has got very reduced immunity. Patient is already immunocompromised. So the recommendation is that a minimum procedure should be performed when you encounter patient with tuberculosis perforation. I would always recommend the resident staff that to do an ileostomy in these patients instead of attempting a primary closure anastomosis. However, if they have got sufficient experience, if they find that the proximal intestine is normal and a distal intestine is normal, then there is no problem in resecting it and bringing the loops together as in resection and anastomosis. However, if there is any doubt, it is always better to just bring that loop out. And if you can, you are able to suture that perforation, still it is always better to do a proximal ileostomy so that you give rest to that and after 3 months you can just close that ileostomy. So this is the treatment of peritonitis. Well, the diagnosis of peritonitis because of tuberculosis is most of the time per operation. Very strong degree of suspicion is required to predict that it is tuberculosis which has result in peritonitis. So many of the time this diagnosis is either per operative or post operative period, right? And because if someone comes with a peritonitis, you have to open it anyway and you decide it during the operation. So that is about abdominal tuberculosis. I would like to just summarize it before we close today's talk. Abdominal tuberculosis is a common happening in our circumstances. Any patient with abdominal symptoms, one of a differential diagnosis has to be abdominal tuberculosis. The commonest presentation of abdominal tuberculosis is ascites. The other one are ulcerative tuberculosis, which presents with diarrhea alternating with constipation and ill health. The third one is hypertrophic type of tuberculosis, which presents with mass in right iliac fossa and signs symptoms of intestinal obstruction. The fourth one I told you is palpable masses in the abdomen and which is lymph nodes. And the fifth one is peritonitis, which is either because of perforation, rupture of a caseating lymph node, or it is because of perforation of already existing tuberculous ulcer. Thank you.